Jays and Rays baseball tonight on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. As we're talking, I'm just watching video of Tyler Glasnow pitching. He's got a 0.73 ERA, 9 hits allowed, 36 Ks, 24 and 2/3 innings, Mr. Barker. In 2019-20, 2 years, threw his four-seamer 64% of the time, threw his curve 32% of the time, threw a change 4% of the time. This year, four-seam fastball, 57% of the time. That's down. Curveball, 12% of the time. That's down 20%. Changeup, 1% of the time. That's down 3%. Slider, 29.1% of the time. So 27 years old. Because this is a guy, remember, a starter who allowed an OPS of 591, which was third lowest in baseball the past 2 years. He's added another pitch. And basically a nuclear pitch. We'll be joined by Brian Anderson, Rays analyst, to talk about it. But I wanted to ask you this, Bark, because the Jays have seen a lot of Tyler Glasnow. Well, baseball's seen a lot of Tyler Glasnow. I think kind of know what he's about. How different would it be? Even though I know you got video, I know you got scouting reports. But how different would it be to see a guy who's added a completely new pitch that he'll throw a third of the time? Like, what does that do to a hitter's mindset?
Yeah, you'd mentioned that they've seen Tyler a lot. They haven't seen this Tyler.
Right.
You can almost guess along with him. I know if I were facing him, I would never look curveball. I don't know why. Nobody can hit that thing. Why would you even look for it? So you try and look for something right down the middle that's hard, and hopefully that's the fastball. Maybe you can scoot a little bit closer to him. I know now the issue that hitters are having against him, and he's faced 90 batters. You mentioned he's given up 9 hits. 90 batters and 9 hits. And you mentioned all the strikeouts he's got. Now, he doesn't use the slider a lot for a strikeout. He's only got 4 strikeouts on the slider. He's done it 111 times. He's given up 3 hits on it. So he's not using it for strike 3, but he is using it to get to strike 3. He wants to put you away with a spinning four-seamer that's elevated or the curveball. He still wants to get you out with those two because he's comfortable with that. You know, in spring training, I think the word was he was working on maintaining velocity with the slider. He was working on obviously throwing it for strikes, making it look like a strike. But that's the issue now. You remember, he's 6'8". You know, extension from him is almost out to about 7'6". That means when he releases the ball, it's only traveling about 53 feet. So if you're a hitter trying to face something that's four seamers about 97 to 100, and then he's got the two different breaking balls now that are in the low 80s, what do you do? Me, you don't want to do too much. You don't want to have this one guy get you in a tremendous slump. I move closer to him. Moving a little bit closer to him, I'm not talking about moving closer to the plate. I'm not talking about, you know, moving anywhere, but wherever I stand in the batter's box, I'm going to take a full foot in front of that. And I want to get just a little bit closer to him, because what you've noticed is he's got 3 pitches till it gets to the dirt. It all looks the same thing. And then that four-seamer will have spin to it, and it'll go up. Then the breaking ball stays in the same plane, and it drops off the table. And then now he's got the slider that he can back foot to a lefty, and he can throw that slider down and away to a righty. That's the issue hitters are having. So how, except for not just tremendously doing something mechanically off the wall that'll carry on to further games to get you in a bigger slump, move a little bit closer to him and try and play pepper with the baseball and don't overswing. Now, you think about the Blue Jays lineup.
Yeah.
Any of the stuff that I just mentioned to you, you think even Vladimir Guerrero Jr., even Bo Bichette. Now, I know they're hotter than everybody else, and they probably should be the two guys. And you can throw Randall in there. Randall's been really good at hitting velocity. I think fastballs above 95 miles an hour, he's like I wrote that down. He is 5 for 7. That's not too bad. He's looking for velocity. He's quiet with his lower half. He's got good direction with his barrel. He's making solid contact. You know, he's not on the label. He's not off the end. He's in the middle. He's squaring balls up like that, so he's very comfortable. Those three guys don't make any adjustments. Everybody else, for me, has got to make a little something different. You can't go up and stand and do the exact same thing that you've been doing and take that big old giant enormous sack, because what do you normally want to do now? You know a guy that's that tall that you have to change your eye level because of that. He's 6'8". He's going to release the ball way up there. So now all of a sudden I'm looking way up there and I'm going to take that big giant hack. It's not going to work. And now he's got three pitches that he can play with and toy around with. Give yourself the best chance you possibly can. Scoot a little bit closer to him, not closer to the plate,
mm-hmm.
you know, not away, not any of that.
I know just what you're saying.
Take just, a step forward yeah. closer to him. That way maybe you can catch it a little before it starts to work into its break one way or the other. And you battle as much as you can. You're trying to play pepper with the baseball with this guy. You're not trying to hit a home run. He ain't giving up any home runs. You know, it seems like the catchers that are catching him are setting up right down the middle because he has such great late movement to it, and he's very confident, and he throws so hard that it's very hard to consistently try and have a good approach. We talked about how good the pitching is.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
This slider, in 18 plate appearances ending on sliders, hitters are 3-for-17 with 4 strikeouts. His whiff rate, you know, misses and swings, is 39%, which is above the Major League Baseball average. And, of course, when you add a pitch like this, the other thing it does is that it makes your other pitches better. But,
your point, he's got – you mentioned the 4 punch-outs on the slider.
Yeah.
He's got 16 on the four-seamer and 16 on the breaking ball.
Yeah. He's thrown 47 curves this year. And this is a stat that I love, of all the things, because it's pretty clear what has happened here with this slider is it's kind of allowed him to
not be so predictable.
And it's given him something, it's almost like a bridge between his fastball mm-hmm. and his curve.
Giving a hitter something else to think about.
His curve this year, 41 of the 47 curves he's thrown have come with 2 strikes. It's a put away pitch.
And that spin on the four seamer. That's what I said. You have to try and be as quiet as you possibly can, and you just got to try play pepper with the baseball. You don't want to be walking away from an 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts and that carry over mm-hmm. to the next, you know, the entire week. He's one of the elite guys in the league, and now he's got a nice little toy to play with, and you haven't seen it before. Don't overthink it. I would say look for fastball, but it's real hard because of the how late they move. Right?
Yep.
And where he releases the ball from. And you got such a quick time to make up your mind what you want to do. It's going to be a tough chore. And he's real tough on lefties, too. Like, you know, you mix in Kevin Biggio and Rowdy Tellez, who has hit a couple home runs off him, but not this guy. It'll be interesting how they make up their line. I know what I do. I'm putting the best 3 hitters I got right up front. And the best that are hitting the slider and the fastball. And that is Bo, Vladdy, and Randall.
Leading off Bo?
I don't – if that's – you could lead off Randall. This is one of those games who doesn't matter who you lead off. I want my best 3 guys at hitting velocity and being able to recognize a slider, and they have confidence. And I know Rowdy's hit a couple home runs, so maybe hit Rowdy cleanup. And then it's sort of everybody else. They're not going to do that because they're in love with Kevin leading off. You know, they like the walk and seeing all the pitches. But – You want to maximize what you can do against a certain guy. You give your best hitters the most amount of chances against that certain guy.
We got to talk about Daniel Admiral Sutter, Dan in Georgetown, a longtime listener, texter, and you can text us at 590-590. He sent us a gift pack today.
It's pretty cool.
And the gift pack includes a scorecard from the 2004 Expos and a couple of copies of game stories from the final game in Montreal Expos history, a Expos signature edition program from the last year, which is always cool, and some Shoppers Drug Mart calendars that his father who passed away. And essentially, it kept score. I'm sure a lot of you out there will have had these, will have seen these. There's space to keep score every game, and there's some portraits of different players in there mm-hmm. as well. So it's very cool stuff, Dan. Thanks so much. Barker also got a package.
Markers.
Okay, this is, I got to read you the letter from Dan in Georgetown. Good morning, boys. This package is for the great Kevin Barker and Blair. So you'll notice that the great Kevin Barker and Blair, he doesn't say in great Blair.
He will further down.
Oh, yeah, he does.
That's there you amazing. Go.
Anyhow, last year, Barker, you said you ran out of red markers because of all mistakes the Blue Jays made. So here's what we have. One, a pack of black markers for good plays. Two, red markers for bad plays. And three, red pens that I want you to use for Teoscar Hernandez when he does a bonehead play. Now the great Jeff Blair.
Yeah. There it is.
These are some things that might be of interest. These were treasures of the late, great Larry Suter, or Sutter, my father, who just recently passed. If anybody with the Nats and Jays could use these items, then they're all theirs. The calendars are marked up, but it is what it is. Love the show, boys, and remember, get it down and get it singing, and shut up, Jeff, Dan from Georgetown. So there you go, Dan. Thanks so much for that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you for the kind comment. And now I'm going to shut up and let Barker talk.
I don't really have anything to say to that. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. I will definitely use the markers and the pens. Teoscar is not, you know, running all over the place and kicking balls in the outfield, which he looks like he's made some adjustments.
I think he's all right.
As he drops 30 homers, who cares how he plays the outfield?
You may want to be marking up some plays at third base with those red markers.
Be nice. Happy Friday.
You also got this is very cool as well. And Barker got a copy of a Syracuse. This is like Christmas today.
It is.
It's 2006 Syracuse Sky Chiefs official game program. Barker finishing off. It looks like you got the fruition of your gather together in that.
Yeah,
in
that. That's I went to Back Lake City right there.
You did.
Jeff.
You did go to Back Lake City.
I did.
That looks.
That's pretty cool too. I know the nice person that sent this to me wants me to sign it, and I will sign it and send it back.
Send it back.
Yes, that's pretty cool. So we really do appreciate everybody listening.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Having fun with baseball and the season. Yes, it's monotonous. The season's
long. First of all, I was a fine-tuned athlete.
I tried to be. It rarely worked out that way.
I don't know. You see, you now listen. I've seen the ACC, or was it the ACC or the Atlantic 10 award you got?
Atlantic 10.
Sorry, I got my conference. I've seen you get.
I was Beau Bichette.
You got you got drafted. You made a little money. You had a good career. You got to the majors.
It's decent.
Never apologize for the fact. I mean, everybody out there is listening. You know, they're playing beer league baseball.
Because I've done it.
Anyhow. Brian Anderson joins us in a few minutes to take a deeper dive into Tyler Glasnow. Talk about Brent Honeywell as well. Because the Jays will see him. Mm-hmm. Steven Matz, 3-0 with an ERA of 1.47. What does he have to do tonight against the Rays?
Eliminate the lefties. I don't think we haven't seen a lineup, though. It's still a little too early for that.
No.
Yeah, you know the best hitters for me that the Rays have are Lau, Meadows, and Wendell. Those three
Wendell
guys.
Is like he's a different dude.
Yeah, but against lefties now.
Okay.
You know, Lau's 1-for-18. Meadows is 1-for-12. Wendell's 3-for-13.
Right.
They got 16 Ks combined between the three of them. Now, will all three of them be playing? Probably not, but you're going to see a bunch of them because, you know, the Jays are throwing three lefties against them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very important to get those three guys out, and those three guys are best hitters for me. I know Wendell's having a really good start to his season.
Austin Meadows is still kind of the guy that
he's hitting some homers. That's a big deal, right? He's when he does get mistakes, he's not missing those, but you can't pitch to him,
right?
And what's Steven Matz against lefties? Faced 21 lefties. He's given up 5 hits and 2 earnies. It's a big deal, you know. You can. I don't want to say you want to go cruise control on lefties. Well, really good starting pitchers that are left-handed in the big leagues, a lot of times they eliminate the left-handed batter.
Right.
Just because left-handed hitters don't see a ton of left-handed pitchers, and it's very hard for them to let the ball travel and shoot the ball the other way. That's not the easiest thing to do. So what do the most lefties try and do? They try and look for a breaking ball, get the head out a little bit, and pull that ball. And that's why you see some really weird swings and some weak contact that way. So, Steven, You know, you got to attack early, which is what he's been doing, and you got to be unpredictable, which is what P. Walker said he's been really good at. Throw all your three pitches in any count.
The other thing I think that really augurs well for Steven Matz tonight is the fact that he threw just 82 pitches the last time out, so he should be well rested.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thing that has stood out to me, Kevin, about Steven Matz is the efficiency.
And he's throwing harder. If you look at all of his pitches.
It's got to work hand in hand, though, right? If I'm throwing fewer pitches, I'm going to throw harder.
There you go. And his sinker, you know, is not a ton harder, but it's a couple of ticks harder. His changeup's a mile an hour harder.
Mm-hmm.
His curveball's a little over a mile an hour harder. So you got those three pitches. If you can control it, you make it look like a strike to the last minute. You know, I want to say get ahead, yada, yada, yada. Everybody's heard that a billion times. But I think a lot of it is when he does face the right-handed hitter, you know, added to the getting the lefties out, establish in, that makes it a little easier for you to miss with the secondary pitches and attack the zone. You got to have a little confidence. I think that's what the hitter's got to do against Tyler Glass now is when you face guys like that, have a little swag when you walk up there. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know he's good. Look at the numbers. 90 batters, they haven't had much of a chance, but you add a little swag to it. Give you a little upper hand, I think.
I thought the Jays had more at-bats against him. But I'm looking, Telez has 9.
Got Panic a couple homers, one. Right, Telez does?
He's got 2 homers.
Yeah, so does Randall. Randall's
got 2 homers.
Against him.
Now,
yeah.
As we said, a different guy. But I'm just looking at the at-bats. 4, 17,
I think, you
19,
know what you do? You know what you
23,
do them numbers?
24, 25, 34 at-bats. I thought there were more. I thought they had more at-bats.
You against know what you do to them numbers?
Because different dude.
That's what you do to them. Because it's early
dude.
In the season. Randall's a different kind of hitter now. He's streaky. He's in one of those streaks. You know, you add Bo to the mix. He's got a little confidence. You add Vladdy, which Glass now hasn't faced this Gladdy.
No.
This Vladdy, I mean, Gladdy. What did I say? Gladdy. Yeah, he is Gladdy,
man
too.
From
Gladdy. He's Gladdy, too. But this Vladdy, that's...
He's only faced Vladdy. He's only had 2 at-bats against him.
There you go, but not
Bichette's
this guy.
Had 1. No, but I admit I found that... I don't know. I just assumed that they'd seen him. Because it always seems to me as if Tyler Glasnow's pitching against the Jays.
Yeah, and you know what, too? Vladdy against the slider this year, 471 with a slugging of 882.
Yeah.
Now, you'd rather not try and hit that, but if you have to, those are the guys. That's what
I said.
Do you
think would he see more curves from Glasnow?
That's a great question. You know, I think he's going to have to show the slider to him. And it's about velocity. Vladdy's going to have to be shorter and quicker, stay inside the ball. Don't change it. That's what I said. The guys that are hot right now, like the 3 guys, Grichik, Vladdy, and Bo, don't change a thing. Keep doing exactly what you're doing. Everybody else,
just dude, this almost has no hitter written all over it.
It does a little.
I hate to say it.
I don't want to say it either. But you know what the scary part of it is too. What you're starting to notice with Glass now is, and I told you this about Steven Matz, is when he gets to he goes 0-2 quick.
Yeah,
it's 3 or 4 pitch at bat now, and it's over. Instead of that 6 or 7 pitch at bat, that's the difference between what the slider does for you and what only having 2 pitches does for you.
Brian Anderson is a Rays TV analyst with Bally Sports Sun. He'll join us next. We'll take a deeper dive into Tyler Glasnow, the Rays, and Brent Honeywell as well. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, so John Heyman has just tweeted out that Aníbal Sanchez through today at Florida International University. He's a free agent through today for select teams, including the Yankees, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Tigers, the Diamondbacks, and your Toronto Blue Jays. According to John Heyman, nearly ready, pitched at 90, hit 92. So Aníbal Sanchez, one of the free agents still out there. And it would make sense that...
Break up the lefties here.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Veteran guy,
and yeah, you know what you're gonna get.
And with the Jays bullpen, you know, you're not asking to go 6 innings.
Yeah, and we don't know when
turn it over to somebody.
We don't know when Nate Pearson is going to be ready. Ben Wagner mentioned something yesterday about Anthony Kay, and I don't know. We didn't see Anthony Kay in the bullpen two nights ago, and there was some thought that he was going to start this series. So I haven't had a chance to talk to Charlie Montoya to find out if there's an issue there or anything like that. But we know that Thomas Hatch is out for at least a month, and Nate Pearson is not even at the point yet where they're starting to build him up. So you wonder if you're the Blue Jays and you know that you were kicking tires on pitchers in the off season, maybe do you offer a guy like Anibal Sanchez a contract? Anyhow, Yankees, Phillies, Marlins, Tigers, Jays, and Diamondbacks, the teams that watched Anibal Sanchez work out today at Florida International University. We will stay on top of that and get a chance to ask anybody. We will do that. Let's bring in Brian Anderson, Rays TV analyst, Bally Sports Sun. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. We trust you're doing well. Good to talk to you again. It's always good to talk to you. But
absolutely.
I was going to say, especially ahead of a Tyler Glasnow start. Look, Kevin and I were just spent better part of 20 minutes talking about the slider and the impact it's had on it. And you, obviously you're around that team more than we are. Why did he decide to incorporate the slider? And can you just tell us a little bit from your point of view what this has done to his other pitches?
Yeah, for sure. I think the reason that he wanted to incorporate the slider was, I think anytime you see, I mean, really outside of Randy Johnson, and even towards the end of his career, you know, he needed to go with a changeup. But I think it's a rare thing for a starting pitcher to really take the step to be an elite pitcher and to be able to pitch deep into games without a third pitch. And so for the last couple of years with the Rays, Tyler Glasnow has tried a changeup, hasn't had a very good feel for it. The velocity on it, he was not able to take enough off of that pitch, and it wasn't very effective for him. So I think, you know, he made the decision, okay, let's, you know, not put the changeup completely away. He'll throw it every now and then, but let's go more towards a slider. Go with the two breaking balls. And so that's what he worked on this spring, and with mixed results. But as the spring went on, the pitch got better and better for him. And what it has allowed him to do is just to put another really good pitch in the mind of a hitter. You know, before with Tyler Glasnow, you knew that he had the elite four-seam fastball and the really good curveball. But his curveball has so much depth. You know, he's 6 feet, 8 inches tall, has a long reach and big depth on a 12-6 curveball. It was tough for him to consistently land that pitch in the strike zone. So when it would come out more times than not, it was more of a chase pitch. And if a hitter could recognize spin, they'd just take it for a ball because, like I said, it was a tougher pitch for him to get into the zone. Now with the slider, it's a pitch that he can tunnel into the strike zone more frequently, which allows him then the fastball in the top of the zone, the slider in the zone. He can also take it out of the zone. And then here comes the curveball, and he can get you to chase with that. And so it's really allowed him this three-pitch mix where he's been better at throwing strikes. You know, he struggled a little bit his last start, lost the strike zone for a little bit, and had 4 walks. But for the most part, he's throwing strikes at a higher percentage than he has in his career, and he's got another pitch that is not only good to get a strike with, but he can also get you to chase with it on top of the fastball up and the curveball down. So he was tough to face before. With the two pitches, fastball, curveball, now with the slider, and it's an actual weapon, it's not just a third pitch, it gives a hitter more to think about, and it makes it even tougher on him, and you can see that by his numbers.
Well, that doesn't make hitters want to run up to the plate and face him. Now all of a sudden he has a new toy. But I want to ask you about Brandon Lau and what we saw in the playoffs last year. You know, everybody knows his numbers in the playoffs and the struggles he had and what Kevin Cash was trying to do, you know, by keeping him in the lineup and all these things. And then he gets off to a slow start again this year. Are you seeing a carryover from that, or is it the adjustments made by the league so far and he just hasn't adjusted to that?
You know what? I think that's exactly it. I think the league has adjusted to Brandon, and the pitches that he has struggled with are the elevated fastballs, and you know they've got to be up at the top of the zone. He had a couple of home runs out in Kansas City because they're trying to throw him a fastball, and all of a sudden, instead of getting that ball in on him, they left him down and out over the plate. That's right in his juice zone. I mean, the lower half of the zone, out over the plate where he can drop that barrel on it and get the lift that he does. And he hit a couple of home runs. But if you elevate the fastball, that's a pitch that has given him trouble, or the breaking ball, especially right-handed pitcher, you know, back foot the breaking ball, left-handed pitcher, try to sweep it down and away. I think, and I'm not sure if he did or didn't, I don't want to say for sure, but going into the Kansas City series, he was 0-for on breaking balls. He had not had a hit off a breaking ball all season long. And so that's a pitch down below the swing that's giving him trouble, and the fastball up above that uppercut swing. So at this point, it's just a matter of of Brandon, you know, making that next adjustment, because certainly the league has adjusted to him so far.
Yeah, Joey Wendell is, for me, when you watch him play at third base, you could say he's an elite defender. He can move around. You know that he catches the balls he's supposed to catch. He's a good thrower. And then I listen to Kevin Cash call him the big bopper. And I'm going, what's going on? What's going on with Joey this year?
Well, listen, it's funny because Joey Wendell it despises that nickname, the Big Bopper, because that is not part of his game. And I know that he's given Kevin Cash some cred for it. But, Joey Wendell, the thing about him that stands out to me, he's a guy that does not give an at-bat away. He always has a plan of action when he goes to the plate. If a guy's going to be out over the plate, he'll swing early. If not, he'll work a 7, 8, 9 pitch at bat, foul off tough pitches. Doesn't wear the batting gloves. He's a throwback type, has a 2-strike approach. And the thing that allows him to hit for such a very good average, and obviously this year he's really swinging it well, is he hits the ball to all fields. I mean, you bring something middle in, and he's quick enough to get to it and pull it. He tries to stay through the middle of the field with his swing mechanics the majority of the time, and if you want to go away, he will let that ball travel and fire on it late and shoot that ball into left field. It's been incredible. In fact, there was at one point when we broke down his spray chart where he had the same amount of hits to left, center, and right, and that's all you need to know about Joey Wendell. It forces the defense to play him straight up. You're not going to see them playing the shift against Joey. And that gives him a little, it gives him more holes because he will use the whole field. And, and he's just been locked in. He's been seeing the ball great.
Yeah, Brian, Randy Arozarena was one of the real breakthrough stories last year, regular season. Well, and certainly the postseason as well. See, he's hitting .279. I know that he had, he started out the year, I believe, with like a 7 or 8 game hitting streak, and he's hitting his last 3. What's been your read on Randy Arozarena, and are teams pitching him a little differently?
They are. They're trying to find the hole in the swing, and really, at this point, Randy Arozarena, when he's gotten himself into trouble, it's been himself getting himself into trouble. It's not the pitchers necessarily. When you saw what he did last postseason, when you break it down and you take a look at the video, hit by hit, approach by approach, the thing that really stood out was how quick and direct he was to the baseball. I mean, he sees the ball, good pitch recognition, and his hands in his ready-to-hit zone would go right to the baseball. I mean, there was just no excess movement whatsoever, and that's why he just raked in the postseason. Coming into the regular season this year, got off to a pretty good quick start. Same thing, quick to the baseball, and he's having success. Good power through the middle of the field, good power even out into right center. And that's what allowed him to stay on balls. Then all of a sudden, it was like he got a little greedy, and the swing got a little bit long, and it got a little bit more uppercut to it. And so he was missing pitches, hanging breaking balls and fastballs that were right out over the heart of the plate. It was amazing. I mean, he would take some swings where you're like, okay, that swing was way too big, way too long. And Kevin Cash gave him a day off last week, said, the swing doesn't look right. Looks like, maybe he's not on time. He's out in front on breaking balls. He's a little tardy on the fastball. Looks like a guy that maybe is caught in between. So he gave him a day, and I think they talked to him and said, hey, let's get back to direct to the baseball. And then all of a sudden, he did that in the Kansas City series. And what really stood out was the day after that benching, he comes up and his first at bat, a 2-0 count. So now you're thinking, okay, here's where the big swing comes. And it was a fastball kind of middle in and a 2-0 count. And instead of getting really big and long, he stayed inside of it and just shot it into right field for a base hit. It was like, okay, he's back. He got the message. And that swing was a lot shorter, more compact, and it's going to lead to better results. So that's what you want to see from him. If you see the swing get long, that's when he's going to have trouble.
Yeah, if Brent Honeywell stays healthy, what do you think we could expect to see from him this year?
You know what? I will be anxious to see myself, because right now you get the feeling that he's going to be a two or three inning guy. Mm-hmm. Now, will he be an opener? Will he be a bulk guy where you've got a guy open, then he's going to pitch the next, maybe he'll get to three or four. I think they want to be careful with him, because before he had that little two inning stint, his major league debut against the Yankees, he had not thrown in a game that counted since 2017. Wow. It had been 3 years of surgeries and rehab. So they're going to be very careful with him, try to keep him in a controlled environment and limit his pitch count. And like I said, right now you could envision 2 to 3 innings. And I think that as, the season goes on and as he gets stronger and you see the results kind of match the strength, then maybe you'll see him, get into a 3-4, maybe even a 5-inning type of deal. But because of all that he has gone through with that arm, with that elbow in particular, they're going to be very careful with him.
Ryan, why do people make such a big deal out of his screwball? Like, I've not seen him pitch. I've seen him throw in video, but I've not seen him pitch in a game. But you always hear about the screwball. What's the story behind that?
You know why? Is how many guys do you know that call a pitch that they throw a screwball? That's it. You become enamored with it because they don't exist anymore.
Right.
Fernando Valenzuela, you remember with that. Now, here's the thing, though. Anymore, it's more of a true, like, changeup. Mm-hmm. He'll, of course, pronate his arm, but everybody else does on a changeup, too. And I think the reason being, and maybe as he gains strength and confidence, he'll go back to that pitch. But you think about all the work that has been done on that elbow.
Yeah.
Between Tommy John, all of that work on the elbow, I think that I would take that screwball and maybe put it in my back pocket and leave it alone. Because that's a ton of pronation, and you're just putting more and more stress on an elbow that has already had its fair share of work done on it. So that screwball has become more of a traditional changeup and not what he was doing before. Now, maybe he'll get back to that, I don't know. But I think that the reason that you hear about it is because it was a pitch that he had a lot of success with, and no one throws it anymore.
Okay, Brian, the Jays are starting 3 lefties in a row. Who do you think that benefits more, the Jays or the Rays?
I'm going to tell you something. I would think the way the team is trending now, I would think that that plays into the Rays' hands a little bit more. Like, if you look at the breakout, the Rays have a lot of balance in their lineup, right-handed, left-handed hitting. And the last 2 games of the Kansas City series, which, by the way, they won one, lost one, but they scored 22 runs, 14 in game 2 and then lost 9-8 in the third game. So overall, the lineup is swinging the bat better. But when you look at the right-handed hitters, Mike Brasso has put together, really good at-bats from the right side. So you're going to see an awful lot of him, and he's swinging the bat well. Francisco Mejia has done most of his damage as a catcher, and he may only catch one of the games. But he's a switch hitter, but he's done most of his damage from the right side. Zunino, right-handed power. Those guys have actually driven in about a run a game over the last week and a half together combined. Joey Wendell will battle lefties and righties. So just because those lefties are in there, maybe Joey gets a day off, maybe he doesn't, but he's got such a good approach that, he can shoot that ball the other way, and he stays tucked in on lefties very well, doesn't pull off the ball. So you've got a lot of right-handed hitters, Rosarena swinging the bat better as a righty. It kind of looks like it could be trending, to benefit the Rays more. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. You could come out, and the bottom line is right-handed, left-handed. If you get a guy, like Matz, the way that he's been throwing the ball, he goes out there tonight and executes like he has. I don't care who the Rays run out there. It might be a tough, long night. So we'll have to wait and see. But the Rays offense has been better, and the right-handed hitting has been a little bit better. But overall in the season, left-handed hitters, a higher average over the team – better average against righties, but much better on base percentage against lefties. And I think that's kind of the name of the game now. Get those guys out there to try to get them in.
Yeah. Brian, good stuff, man. Really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, fellas, anytime. I really appreciate it.
Take care. It's Brian Anderson, Rays analyst, and with Bally Sun Sports.
Yeah, you listen to him talk.
Valley Sports, son.
Yeah, the Blue Jays have no chance tonight. Yeah, I mean, that's I say that jokingly, obviously. But with the pitcher throwing on the mound for the Rays, the one thing that the Rays offensively do most of the time is they battle. There's not a whole ton of easy outs in there. And Steven's going to have to make quality pitches with three different pitches.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's the Trop. And
there you go.
We know what that means. But, yeah.
That's why you play the games, though.
I'm looking forward to seeing this pitching matchup, because having watched a couple of Glasnow starts, he is we've talked about, there's so many good pitchers out there right now. And as you said, everybody's throwing hard.
Yeah.
But when you watch him, there are guys who will blow guys away and there are guys who will carve people up, and he can do both.
Yeah. I'm interested.
He can make good hitters look really bad.
Exactly right. I'm interested to see him and Blatty. I want to see that three times. Me against you.
And see what he throws.
Exactly. This is sort of a graduation game. I talk about those graduation at-bats. For Vladdy, this will tell the world a little bit of where Vladdy's at, I think.
We've got some injury updates to get to. I mean, as much as we can. And George Springer figures centrally in that. We'll do that next. This is Baseball Central. See, we're having this debate here because we got coyotes in our neighborhood in Hamilton. And,
it's not a debate.
Well, it is a debate.
I just don't believe
I'm saying that there have been coyotes that have scaled 6-foot fences in our neighborhood. And Barker admittedly, he's eaten possum. He's as country
That's
as
not
anybody.
True.
Yeah, you said to
that
me, I'm
is
as country
not,
as
I have
anybody.
Not pulled over after roadkill. No, that is not
Come
true.
Come on, you've had a little Colby. Awesome. You've had a little Colby Rasmus buffet. Yes, you have. Come on, that's good eating. Come on, a little squirrel. Come on, you have so. You've eaten squirrel.
I got to admit, I've never been sitting in the back of my yard drinking whatever that stuff is you're drinking in Hamilton and watched the coyote run over.
No, I'm just saying.
Kill up that 14-foot wall.
No, I'm saying. So I told Barker that coyotes can jump big fences. Of course, Barker says that's not true. Maybe on your side of the mountain they couldn't. But anyhow.
Yeah. Get your own line.
So we Googled it. We Googled it, and it says that coyotes can scale 14-foot fences.
Scale.
Yeah.
It's like they're thinking about how am I going to, jump from that spot to that spot to that spot. It's like.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Barker doesn't believe it. That's fine.
It's a tall order.
Oh, that's very good.
One
tall. Get it?
That go on in Hamilton.
You know what I miss? I miss Bundesliga picks.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
So George Springer is going George Springer is maybe playing in an inter-squad game as we speak.
Yeah, let's hope.
And
Pearson's throwing to him, I think.
Maybe. I assumed we would see George Springer at some point this weekend. Now, I've got it. And then I just hypothesized with Brunt that, maybe the thinking is start him at – why bother playing him in artificial turf?
That's what it is. That
start
nothing to do with that big variety that we've been talking about.
Nothing to do with the fact that
that's got nothing to do with it.
Dr. Glasnow Stein is on the mound. No, it's
well,
got
that thing's still a little stiff.
Charlie, I don't know, man. That's
I've been real good lately.
Charlie, how many years am I here? 6 years? Yeah, I don't know.
I can wait another day.
Maybe another day. God, that thing. No, it's the other side. No, we're just kidding. Anyhow, George Springer, yes, we are. George Springer is playing an inter-squad game, so he'll be back soon. Nate Pearson, we don't know when Nate Pearson's going to come back. Tyler Chatwood and Jordan Romano could be back. I believe they said any day.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because I think when we saw that, not knowing what ulnar neuritis is, when we saw Jordan Romano and we saw it had anything to do with the ulnar, I was thinking surgery.
Me too.
Dude. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
When Jordan Romano.
Teoscar Hernandez is hopefully coming back soon.
Yeah, I don't know what the – I mean, I know he has to pass a COVID test, and then I guess it just depends on sounds dumb, but I guess it depends on how he feels, right? It is a
doesn't sound dumb.
It is a disease, and I don't know how long it'll take him to be built up. You know, yeah,
different people handle that in different ways.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I know one person who had it and just fine. You know, I mean, sick, but not sick.
And yeah. Hopefully, he's not sick and can come back as soon as possible because they, for obvious reasons, yeah, need them.
And I want to see. I'm intrigued by the idea of Springer and Vladdy doing what Vladdy's doing, and Bo doing what Bo's doing, and Teoscar in the middle of the lineup, and Grichuk's there, and what it'll mean putting Semien in the bottom of the order, and then maybe if we've talked about this, just saying, Cavan, God love you, hit ninth, do what you got to do to get on base, whatever, and play us good defense. I am intrigued at how that is all going to work together. Because you are taking Vladdy at his very best, and now you're surrounding him in a lineup with a legit run producer in Teoscar Hernandez and George Springer.
And it could hide your defensive woes, too.
Exactly.
Yep. Which is, you know, and Charlie's probably the happiest person on the planet that he could get to write George. Hey, spell that. Springer.
S-A-V-I-O-R. Right,
boy, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I can't wait to see him. There's a lot of hype. Obviously, we watched him from afar. Mm-hmm. But to get to watch him up close and, you know.
I just want to see that. I want to see what that lineup looks like.
I want to see him hit in front of Bo. I want to see the 1-2 punch between him and Bo. You know, having three guys like that in your order. Ooh. Him and Bo and Vladdy. What?
I want to talk a little bit just before we run about.
I ain't running nowhere.
A friend of the show, Aaron Sanchez. What is Aaron Sanchez now? 1-1. His ERA is 1.83. Thereabouts. It's early.
You guys are the best.
We are.
That was him.
That was him.
Wow.
That was him.
He said that?
He did indeed. He did indeed.
Writer's block.
Yeah, he didn't say it with you then.
He didn't say it on Baseball Central?
It was Baseball Central?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I figured as much.
Was Barker with me? Well, I don't know. Could have been on holidays. Hey, Brandeo? Hey?
You're number one.
You're number
too.
One, Brandeo. People don't know
I think they can figure it out. They've heard that before, I'm assuming.
They probably can.
Yes, they can.
They probably can. Aaron Sanchez throwing 92. Sink, throwing his curve.
Yeah, you may be a little bit more excited about that than most because you're a friend of his, I think. Well, a friend of his more than most people, I would assume. You know, I will say his breaking ball is a little bit more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And he's not trying to overthrow everything, which is when you're coming back from injuries and you're trying to fight the blister thing, you know, you're trying to hide it and you're trying to maneuver balls around to make it move the way you want it to move. Maybe he just said, whatever, I'm going to try and grip it a different way, and I'm going to spin a different kind of pitch. And, you know, it seems to be like, a few more four-seamers, a few more breaking balls other than the sinker and the slider.
And just as a sort of where are they now or a fond remembrance, Sean on Twitter DMing. Aaron Sanchez, 1-1, 1.83 ERA. Marcus Stroman, 3-0, 0.94 ERA. Just saying. Just throwing it out there. No apparent reason. But two guys who are very much a part of things. Part of the scenery here. And, Marcus Stroman is.
If Marcus Stroman could play third, I'd be excited about that.
Well, the thing, I'll tell you. Don't be a dick. I'll tell you the thing about Marcus Stroman, though. Marcus Stroman is a guy who's betting on himself this year. You know, he shut down last year as a result of COVID, took the out. Betting himself this year, accepted that contract offer from the Mets.
You could argue.
Marcus has done okay for himself here. He's made a pretty, pretty smart decision.
I think you judge pitchers, or at least I do, on when it matters. You could argue when it matters, there not be a better guy. There could be a handful, but he'd be right there in the mix of guys that you'd want to hand the ball to.
I wouldn't be afraid to hand the ball to him, absolutely.
No, against any good lineup.
Guys with different track records. But no, against
100%. Besides the obvious reason, obvious guys, like the Groms and the Scherzers, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
He can spin it, take a little off, throw it from different arm angles, do all the start and stops, and he's very athletic. And you know, there's something to a little bit of that when he gets you out, he lets you know it. Hitters don't like that. So they try a little bit harder early in counts, and they expand, and he uses that to his advantage. Yeah, I'm with you.
Anyhow. 7 o'clock first pitch tonight. Steven Matz and Tyler Glasnow will be the Jays and the Rays from the Trop. And we've pretty much broken down those two pitchers ad nauseum. If you're Charlie tonight, who gets the ball in the ninth? Close game, who gets the ball in the ninth?
Depends on who's hitting. How big of a lead I got? If one run lead, who's hitting? You know, I got a couple lefties coming up. It's not being him. That's a great question. That's almost an impossible question to answer. Just because you don't know what
correct,
people are thinking, how guys feel.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Jordan Romano.
Yeah, I don't know if he's is he.
Mean, he's not. I'm just kidding. But it's you know, David Phelps wouldn't be a bad option. Add and subtract, mm-hmm. better than most guys, mechanically sound.
Maybe Tommy Malone.
That's good. Dolis is you know, the sinker's working. He's not grunting. The grunt thing is sort of worrisome a little bit for me. He rarely grunts. He's grunting a lot.
Yeah.
That means he's trying to make it move a little bit more than normal.
That's what grunting means? You're trying to make it move a little bit more than normal? There's a pause there. That's it for us this week. We will be back on Monday. Don't go anywhere. Lots of baseball talk ahead on Writer's Block. Jason Stark joins us. Everybody in baseball seems to love the Blue Jays all of a sudden. I wonder what that's all about. Agents do, at least. And Jeff Passan's going to join us. I've got to talk to Passan about this commercial he's involved in. I'm a little concerned about it. I think he mentions his drip in it.
Happy Friday, everybody.